You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. As long as you have internet, you can get to www.1510wwbc. And you will be able to get us on, just hit that listen live button. You can get us live on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive all the shows and they are also housed there. You can click that on demand button and choose by date. We are here each and every Monday under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we share it on all of our social media channels as well. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on Facebook, Instagram. I think Sita's got a TikTok channel. I'm sure there's I'm sure we're covered on all of it for sure. And then of course on our social media, our website, excuse me, is SitaMediaInc.com, and that's spelled S-E-E-T-A MediaInc.com.
Thank you, Ellen. We missed you last week. You had car problems.
I missed you too. Yeah,
we're glad you're back. And Ali, so for our listeners who are tuning in today on Mondays from 1 to 2, Ellen O'Neill, Ali Tambor, myself. We sit here and Danny runs our board and we have conversations. We like to say it's kitchen table conversations about things that are happening right here in Brevard County, Florida, in our state, all around the United States, Florida and other states, and of course the world. We are very blessed that we have listeners that tune in from all over the world and call in from all over the world as well. And today's no different. Whether someone wants to talk about art or politics or financial literacy, or education, higher education, writing a book, blogging, lots of nonprofits, the environment, save the whales.
Starting a business, open a business,
that's right. Go to college, not go to college, go into military, whatever it is you want to do. We give you a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to sit with us and chat. Our show should be called Chat a While.
That's right.
And today's no different. My friend, Mr. David Kearns, is here. And David is a former veteran reporter for the Florida Today. He's excited. He's here with us and he's looking all dapper. He will be with us on the first segment. The second segment is with a young man, Mr. Keyshawn Phelps. He is a founder of The Mind Shifter. And he will be talking a little bit later about his journey going to college, making a change, not just in his body, mind, and spirit, but in his entire head. He's had to sit down and figure out what he was going to do with his life because he didn't want to follow the example of others in his neighborhood. So we'll let David say hello to our listeners first.
Hello.
Yeah.
David Kearns.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Keyshawn, you feel free to say hello. You'll be on second segment.
Hey, hello, everyone. How you doing?
Right. So this is going to be a great show, Ellen. And as usual, David is running for a seat right here in Palm Bay, seat okay. 3. And this segment is?
That's right. This segment is paid for by the, I didn't even look it up.
David Kearns for seat three. David Kearns for Palm Bay City Council, seat 3.
Yes, ma'am.
And in my Facebook post, I put a little seat. So people know he will be sitting in that chair.
That's right.
And you know what? The thing is, we live in Brevard, and we are so blessed to live in Brevard County, Florida, where I know I feel safe at night. I sometimes forget to close garage number 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know which one sometimes. And I wake up next day, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have to worry about crime in Lake Washington, Florida, where I live there in Melbourne. But there are people that live in Brevard that have a lot of issues, whether it's education, or homelessness or the crime situation or just putting food on the table or health insurance, whatever it is, we all know that all things start local. And this is where Mr. Kearns comes in handy, because while people are worried about what's going on in Washington, D.C., between the two top candidates running for office, there's stuff going on in Palm Bay, Florida. Right, David?
Yes, yes.
And you're concerned about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And by the way, that has affected me much more than any presidential election, just so we're clear.
That's right.
But right now, one of the big, like you just mentioned, insurance, which is so cool, that one of my big things is we have not done anything about the property insurance, which is really killing, you know, it's killing home sales, but it's also, people are being asked to go from $2,000 a year up to $6,000 a year in their property insurance. And those of us who've paid off our homes, we're now looking at these, you know, twice a year, we get these massive bills. And it really is a killer. It's really a constrictor. And a lot of my wife's friends are nurses, and it's one thing they keep hammering on is, hey, what are you going to do about this property insurance? Because this is crazy.
So what made you decide to run for a Palm Bay City Council C3? Because you're a pretty accomplished guy. I remember reading the Florida Today, the articles you wrote.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I remember being in awe that you were so brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
And it's something
so much
that a lot of people don't cherish, and they're not enthusiastic about the people that actually go on for higher education and make a difference with their thinking skills. And you sure did with us. So you've been doing your art, and you've been acting.
Yeah.
And now you decided, well, wait a minute, I'm going to run for office, because you said there was an aha moment.
Yeah, my good friend Randy Foster came to me 6 months ago, and he said, listen, you got to do something, man. I don't think I'm going to be able to make this the rest of the term. And then 2 months ago, he was ill again. And then I looked at who else was running. And I thought, you know, we're being manipulated again from the outside. People want to keep Palm Bay down. And so the cast of characters that were running, including one council member who had been removed because he was arrested for cocaine and DUI, and he was removed, you know, while in office, and he was going to run again. And I'm thinking, this smells familiar. A lot of the manipulation that we've seen from the outside, from certain forces, certain state representatives that continue to, you know, drum up rumors about our council members.
And spew a lot of hate.
And hate, yeah. And hate, and hate. And I thought, I'm going to step in this time. I haven't run for city council. You know, when I was a newspaper reporter, I covered these meetings. So I know they can be tedious and long, but they're very important. They're some of the most important meetings in politics that you can participate in. And I thought, I'm going to run. I'm going to go ahead and get in the council and try to combat some of this stuff. And it's still kind of happening. You know, we have manipulation of the council now. We have a mayor who's kind of just stepping all over the city charter and the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Florida. He's really dividing the line between church and state. He's stepping over it and using it as a pretext to acquire more power for himself. So I want to stop that. I want to go and search and figure out where this is coming from. I have my suspicions of who the characters are that are manipulating him from the outside, and I don't think it's the Lord Almighty.
Right. So, I think the one thing we all need in the United States are politicians who run for office from their heart, because they do want to make a difference in the lives of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had the experience of being a teacher, surfer, selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things in Palm Bay.
I was a Peace Corps volunteer,
and
too.
Peace Corps, and you also lived in Central America. So you saw
the corruption.
And you saw the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so you understand when an immigrant says, I love living in the United States and being here legally. Yeah. You understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And people use religion, and they use whatever. They use politics or whatever means they can to keep a larger portion of the population down. But when the corruption penetrates into government, it's always these things are tied together. The poverty comes next. And my fear is that this country is going to be turned into what I saw in Central America in Tegucigalpa and San Pedro Sula, is this corruption creeping into government and causing the problems that we're seeing. And first thing to go are the roads. I noticed that in Honduras, the roads were awful. They were awful. And I thought, how do you guys run taxis down here? There's potholes everywhere. And so when I looked at Palm Bay, I was like, oh, my God, it's happening here, you know. And when the Roman Empire fell, what fell first? You know, the roads, they just let the roads go.
Right.
You know, and that's like when they started, they put the roads down, And when it crumbled, you know, the roads got covered over. And
so just to clarify, too, yeah. we've got in the city of Palm Bay, there's seat 2, 3, and 4, and 5 are up for election this time. So, and you're running for seat 3. So
seat
everybody
three.
Wants to make sure that you,
yeah.
is there a difference between the seats?
Well, we are a strong city manager type government. Our mayor is a more of just a functionary, you know, Robert's Rules of Orders person. So there's really, there's no districts per se. We run at large in seat 1, 2, and 3. That might change. Okay. But so I'm running in seat 3. There's a race in seat 5 for the remainder of Pete Filiberto's term. And then the mayor's seat, yes, is up. Donnie's seat, yeah.
Donnie. So seat 2
Vice
has got
mayor.
3 mm-hmm. and 3 people in it. Seat 3, you've got quite a little list. It looks like 8 people are running. So there might not have. There's a couple withdrawals.
Yeah,
so,
Foster's.
So 5
out.
Was
yeah,
right.
Foster's out, and so the remainder of.
And then
five
seat
of,
5, there is another 3 people that. Are
yeah, running. And that's for the remainder of Pete Filiberto's term.
Well, for our listeners who are tuning in today, mm-hmm. Mr. Kearns, tell us a little bit about Palm Bay. I mean, mm-hmm. How large is it? How many people live
140,000 people right now.
Right.
It's simply the largest city in Brevard County. It has the opportunity to become the major city of Brevard County. And I think that's kind of why it gets such a reputation. It's a real city. You know, it's a real town. It's not necessarily a collection of gated communities. This is where people are coming to from South Florida as the congestion gets
too much.
It's like
a hidden gem.
It really
is.
That's
what I hear all the time.
And there's space,
yes.
room to grow. And that's why we are a beautiful town too. That's what escapes a lot of people when they
very diverse.
It's a gorgeous town that we have the Turkey Creek Wildlife Sanctuary. We've got all these wild lands. It's just a beautiful place. And when I moved back here from Miami, we lived in Miami for a couple of years. When I moved back, I was in awe of it. So many trees, so many animals, and it's grown because people are just they're getting out of South Florida. They're
moving up north.
They are,
yeah.
and we're catching them. And there's really nothing we can do. You know, we've got to provide for those people with jobs. You know?
I was just gonna say that yeah. one of the policies that city council officials set is determining the policies to help the government as far as issues such as taxes, land use, public mm-hmm. safety, infrastructure. And jobs.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about being in the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
You thought that, hey, this would be a good idea
to
sell Palm Bay and have a grand studio there and bring some of the film industry there.
Exactly.
And that'll create jobs and tourism and hotels would be filled and people would eat in the restaurants.
Gosh, yeah.
We can bring in some revenue to fix that pothole in Ellen's Street over there.
Well, here's the
young
part
people
about
can
that.
Get
a
jobs.
Lot of the Imagineers from Disney mm-hmm. are always performing at Cocoa Village Playhouse. There's no reason why that talent can't be in Palm Bay. It's not that much further, and we've got a great opportunity for
so
that.
David,
I want you to speak a little more
plan,
about
what is your plan to bring
the compound
the tax?
Is,
and then you want to give them a tax break, too, to bring the studio.
Yeah, right. We, at some point during the Rick Scott administration or thereafter, they made tax breaks to film and television illegal, which I don't even think that's constitutional. All the jobs in film and television kind of left Central Florida and other areas and California. And we're talking about 92,000 jobs, an estimated. And we're talking about $2 billion in revenue when it comes to, when you look at all of it, costuming, catering, food and beverage, lighting, sound, setup, teardown, acting, background actors. I've seen so many jobs in the city of Fayetteville, which created out of nothing Trillis Studios. I've seen so many jobs. And then there's a live, work, play that started alongside the studio. So we're talking movie theaters, we're talking restaurants, and it's buzzing with activity and light and sound and jobs, man,
and
jobs.
And things for people to do.
Yeah.
How many
yeah.
times you hear people say it's after 9 and
there's
nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. in addition to bringing jobs and more mm-hmm. people, think about the small businesses like hairdressing shops.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people who do hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I see Kishan is shaking his head there. You like that idea for tax breaks for the movie industry, huh?
Yeah.
Because David's been in it for a long time.
I'm watching.
He knows what he's saying.
And, you know, Brian Kemp is a Republican. And what's the difference between Ron DeSantis and Brian Kemp? Brian Kemp goes, well, there's money in that. So, yeah, let's not tell people from Hollywood not to come here. Yeah. And I think this is, I think Brian Kemp is a forward-thinking guy. I don't agree with all his stuff. But here's a Republican administration that said yes to film and television tax breaks. And we're here over here in Florida having lost all these jobs. And a guy like me who drives back and forth to Atlanta to be in film and television, I got relatives that I've been able to stay with. You know, this is like, why am I doing this? Why don't we bring them back here?
That's
you know,
right.
Bring the jobs back.
So if when you get elected to Palm Bay City Council 3, what is your plan to ensure that the city has adequate resources to provide essential services for the residents of Palm Bay?
We do have to look into the budget system right now. We got to see what we're lacking, because I kept hearing from 16 on to recently, I kept hearing we did have money for road for infrastructure. And, you know, when you get a road in, and it's a well-paved road, it's a nice road, then your property values go up. Then you have money for schools. You have money for all the other stuff. So we need to look at our lift stations. We need to look at our fire stations, the lift stations for the water. We need to find a way to provide money to hook up these systems, these former septic systems to sewer, the sewer system.
Yeah, we have money for war. We send so much money overseas, and we can hook up people's toilets to a good old sewer system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a break.
We need it in Palm Bay because, you know, the laws
came
down.
The people in Ukraine have a sewer system.
Yeah.
In Israel,
yeah.
In Ecuador, all these places, you flush your toilet, goes into the sewer. Mm-hmm. Here people have leaking septics, mess around with Turkey Creek and everywhere else.
Gets into
somebody
the
needs
River.
To go there and speak up and speak loud, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know,
And who is the genius that designed Heritage Park with no lights?
Yeah, well, that's one thing that needs to be done.
We
need some
gosh.
Lights and sidewalks, because we could be a great sidewalk city, but we need the money to do
How
that.
How can you drive at night on Heritage Park? It is bad.
Yeah, we need to definitely look at these things. And I'm thinking, you know, we're halfway there to three quarters of the way there with, you know, legalizing recreational marijuana. I mean, really seriously, I don't smoke it, but you know, let's tax it
like
Colorado does. And pay for our roads, pay for these hookups, pay for some stuff that we really need, our infrastructure, and then pay for our schools.
Yeah.
And by the way, the road that you're talking about, Sita, they just built I'm going to say 1,500 houses down at the end of that street.
Well, I hope
right
they
where
have flashlights in their cars.
They will. Because
you can't see.
There will
so,
be.
So the city council officials, they act as a liaison between the people and the other organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're going to be like a voice of the people.
I am going to be a voice
of
the people.
And you will have an open door policy. How do you plan to meet the people, greet the people, and have this open door so that they could talk to you? Because oftentimes you see politicians, when once elected, the people have to come to the meeting. You want to be able to talk to the people.
No, I'm looking at this, and it doesn't pay that much. But I've got the time right now, and I'm not going back to Atlanta since my sister moved to South Georgia. So I don't have, I just don't have the money to keep going to Atlanta for right now. But I plan to use this like a job, every day.
To give back, to the community.
And because I'm sick of being the guy, like all of you, sitting on the couch and you read this thing in Florida Today and you go, how the heck did they do that? Why would they do something like that? So I'm going to be the guy that you call. I'm going to be the guy that goes to your house, goes to Turkey Creek, find us what the smell is. You know, that's me. I'm going to be looking at this as a job. And I'm also going to be wanting to go up to Tallahassee to bang on doors and say, why are we paying these exorbitant rates in property insurance? This is crazy, you know?
Yeah. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. David Anthony Kearns. He's a 61-year-old gentleman, a resident of Palm Bay, who's running for a seat here in Palm Bay, City Council 3. That's the seat.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things with the city people who gets appointed to the city council, you all have the power to enact local laws.
Mm-hmm.
And when things such as zoning, building codes, public safety, and health. And we hear a lot about zoning in Palm Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that there are pros and cons to so many buildings that are going up and so many housing developments? And how do we ensure that these builders are paying their fair share in taxes for the infrastructure they use, sewer system, schools, and all that?
Well, there's a lot of impact fees that were being used to do things like ensure that fire has the number of trucks they need, the number of stations they need. But we can't do it all with impact fees. So we have to look at some revenue methods. What I'm also concerned about is we're not thinking in terms of when we zone for a specific business, we're not thinking in terms of how many people this employs. Like, we do a lot of zoning for right now for storage facilities. And it's just over and over again. We're seeing storage facility after storage facility. I don't want to be known as the city of storage facilities, you know?
Yeah. And car washes.
Car washes.
Like, go wash your car. Get a little exercise and wash your car.
There's a big area and very few employees. We need to think in the opposite direction. Like, with studios, you're talking thousands of employees. You know, if you just turn those into storage facilities, you're only employing like 5 or 6 people per day. So to me, I'm going to be looking at things in terms of how many people are employed by this activity, because that's what we need. That's what our young people need, are really screaming for great jobs to move forward in life, because there are, and God bless them, there are a lot of service industry jobs right now. But we need good jobs with futures for our young people, you know, because they graduate high school and they graduate college and they have debt. And right now the rents are, like the guy said, too damn high, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, oftentimes you'll be having a really nice conversation with people and all of a sudden they bring up the word socialism and they're like, I don't want to pay taxes. Socialism, I come from XYZ place. And then you stop them and you say, well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Your auntie is in a nursing home on Medicaid. Your children go to public school. You just drove on the road to get here. You didn't fly like Superman. You are also utilizing the post office, the public health systems. You are paying taxes, but look what we get for it.
Yeah.
In Palm Bay, once elected a city council member for this seat three, there's going to be a problem when we have rain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of flooding.
Yes.
And I know this for a fact because I work with a lot of nurses and nursing assistants, and I know your wife's a nurse as well, right? Your daughter is a doctor. I'm so proud of her. PhD.
She has a PhD.
I have to have her on my show one day.
Absolutely. And then my middle child's finishing up her law degree at Golden Gate University, and my son is with us. He's doing a great job and helping us out, you know.
Well, you hear about the flooding from other people,
yes.
And they're like, I couldn't get to work because the car couldn't get stalled. Talk to us a little bit. How do you get the residents to understand that, yes, you pay taxes, but that has to go in a little account there. So when there's flooding, when there's an issue with hurricanes and infrastructure, we need that money to come out and help us out.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, there it is. You have to, you know, there are still areas of Palm Bay that have flooding that you can't pray it away. Like Garvey Street was flooded last year. We have an issue with fires that can crop up when it gets too dry, like it did for the past 3 or 4 months. You have to be able to provide services. And it is a large, large city.
Just to give everybody, all of our listeners, an idea, Orlando is 111 square miles and has roughly 325,000 people in it. Palm Bay has 88 square miles, just 20 square miles less than that.
And 140,000.
And 140,000 people. So we have a lot of land and fewer people and a lot of opportunity out there that Palm Bay could actually get to the metropolis.
But you got
to
get people to start thinking that I love Palm Bay and I want to do my best.
Infrastructure is so important because if we do it right, we won't have these problems and we won't. But unfortunately, GDC in the 80s, they came in and just blasted everybody and did a lot of things wrong, which is why we've got the leaking septics. So these are 40 and 50-year-old problems that now we're trying to fix in
Palm
Bay.
Such as the compound.
Right,
exactly,
right.
And the compound as well. So, but the opportunity is out there. And with a great city council and with a great structure as far as our government goes in Palm Bay, there's a lot of fantastic things that can be done.
So many great opportunities. And it is, I agree with Rob, it is the greatest potential for the greatest city in the country. It really is. I mean, if you go around and look at the beauty that we are blessed with in Palm Bay and the youth. And I mean, all my kids were in sports there, soccer, you know, swimming, everything. And there was just so much recreation available to them. And it was so good for them.
Right. Yeah. And you want the people to have essential and effective services. But at the same time, we've seen where a lot of people want government officials to have more open hearings. Are you one of those once elected that would be open to, you know, it shouldn't be that people should only see a politician once a month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where do they have their forums? Like, where do they have, like, open meetings?
They do. They have the city council meetings once every 2 weeks. And then they have different sectors that are looked at, like what to do about infrastructure, what to do about jobs, bringing more jobs in. There's an actual meeting for that. And there's an advisory board. And council members should be going to all of these. And I plan to go to all of these meetings.
Yeah, and a lot of them get elected, mm-hmm. but they don't read what they're voting on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't show up for public hearings like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them show up only to vote when their side of the aisle tells them how to vote.
Yeah, I'm not
and
like that.
And that's wrong.
Yeah. I'm very much, you know, since I was a reporter and I saw people trying to hide things from me, I have an instinctive, my instinctive value is that transparency is the key to success in all things. And it keeps people from getting into trouble. So I'm a strong believer in the Sunshine Law, so that if two or more council members are together and they're talking about items that they're going to vote on, there better be a newspaper reporter there. I'm big into
transparency,
invigorating a free press in this country, a fourth estate. I believe in that so much because I saw how well it worked when I covered other cities and I covered the city of Sebastian. Having a free press is massive, you know.
So, David, we're living in a very polarized time mm-hmm. when people are afraid to speak up in politics
yeah.
for whatever reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more civic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
How would you bring more civic engagement to middle schoolers, high schoolers, age appropriate, of course?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But people've got to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to make a plan to vote. We had this the supervisor of elections, Mr. Bobanek, on
mm-hmm.
a few weeks ago. And we talked about the three ways to vote on election day, by mail, or early voting.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about the importance of voting, making their plan to vote,
yeah.
voting locally?
Right.
City of Palm Bay, District 3, yeah. is extremely important for the infrastructure, the education, healthcare, insurance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Talk to them about, make your pitch, why they should vote for you, and how they should make a plan.
Well, I work with a lot of people that go to the school boards and go to the school board meetings. I work with a great couple, Amy Robb and Paul Robb. They're just so much fun. And they've taught me a lot about Twitter and also taught me a lot about TikTok. And I think engagement in this day and age, it's got to be social media. And I plan to be very active social media. But also going to the school boards is important. And they have shown their kids and their kids' friends how to make change and combat things. And I want to show my citizens in Palm Bay how to combat things that don't seem fair and right by showing up at the meetings, the city council meetings. But definitely, you know, using social media to its full advantage is what I'm all about. And open transparency, 100%.
Right. And mm-hmm. for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, Mr. Kearns is running for a seat in Palm Bay, City Council seat 3. And the roles of the city council officials are so, so important. They deal with things like approving the budget, appointing officials for the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city council also does that, holding public hearings, overseeing city departments like the fire department, the mm-hmm. police department, education. That's a big job.
It really
sounds like, mm-hmm. you know, I show up once a month, but blah, blah, blah. But it's a full-time job if you really want it to be. There's
yeah.
a lot of responsibilities with being a city council member.
Yeah, I watched the city council meeting last week, and we had the fire chief come up and the police chief come up and talk about the expanding city of Palm Bay because of the last council expanded it so much. What are we going to do? And the fire chief was like, we need $183 million over the next 5 or 6 years to keep up. That's a huge responsibility to be sitting up there and have to listen to that. It's a different world up there because when you make your decision, that affects the lives of everybody, the whole city. And you have to be cognizant of that. It can't just be a part-time job that you're just winging it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't think people understand, too, that being a city council member, when you make those decisions for the fire department and the police department, you're also representing those departments.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that they're having a shortage of police officers.
Yes.
Well, you know, the city council, the decisions you guys make, it affects all the residents and it affects the young men and women who are potential candidates to become a policeman, to become, be an engineer, be a teacher, things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand that politicians do have that, you know, it's like a iron fist that's just at some, you know, that you could say, well, yeah, you're making decisions not just for yourself, but for the whole
city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was amazed to hear that they're losing, but they're losing to attrition, natural attrition, 16, 18 people, but overall they're losing like 38 to injury. There's a big stress in having to cover an area that big, and then to have the roads not work, you know, the roads not functioning. So you're running through cars, and then you're running through that officer's ability to sustain literally being vibrated.
Or you have the cars, and you get to the hospitals, and then there's nobody in the ER.
Yeah,
the staffing is poor. So it's like it's like when we say we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We are.
We need to look at the police department particularly right now, and say why are we losing these officers? What's going on? And I know there's a lot of, it's so spread out, and these things happen. There's a tragedy that happens, and it's really tough on these guys.
Be respectful to law enforcement officials as well. We often hear people saying things, and it's like, wait a second, no, you got to be respectful. These people put their uniform on every day to serve us,
and
right? So give us your 30-second elevator speech. If you met somebody today and they said, why should I vote for you over Mr. Filiboto and everybody else in that category that's running? Yeah. Give us your 30-second elevator speech, why they should vote for you, and what is the date of your election?
Oh, okay. So I've been there 30 years. We've lived in the same house for 30 years. Three kids, we've raised them all there in Palm Bay. I've been watching this council. You know, I stopped them when they tried to sell off the city hall and move south. We had a council that had these crazy ideas about moving the whole thing to MICO. I was able to get marshal the group to stop that. I'm the guy standing there and saying, our deputy city managers, there's something wrong, and the FBI needs to step in. And they did. The FBI did step in. I'm that guy. And what you want is somebody on the council like you who's sitting there going, that needs to change. That needs to stop. I need to look into this. That's me. I'm that guy. So if you want that guy that's going to be looking into stuff and trying to get things done, then I'm the one you need to be voting for. Absolutely.
There's that fist. He's putting it out. And your website, and if somebody wanted to make a donation or they want to volunteer in your campaign,
they
help knock on a few doors, maybe make some phone calls, text, whatever they can to help you get elected.
I'm David Kearns on Facebook right now. You can Zelle a donation to 321-525-0117 and just Facebook message me your address and your phone number. If you want to sign, you can call that number. 321-525-0117, and I can come and put a sign in your yard in Palm Bay. So right now we're really looking forward to August 20. If we can get this knocked out of the park and get 50% of the vote by August 20, then I'm in. If not, then we'll be going to November 5th with everybody else. The first two that cross that barrier, the first two vote getters. So I'm definitely wanting to cross that barrier, get the first two votes. So please come out August 20 to your and
make a plan to vote.
And make a plan to vote. Make a plan to vote early if you can. If you need to do mail-in ballots and get, just watch what the supervisor of elections is telling you and get them in. Absolutely.
And I have to say, the citizens of Palm Bay would be an honor to have you represent the community and make decisions for them. It would really be an honor because we've known you for so long. And you're one of those people that have always spoken from your heart and what you want to do for people. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on the show.
Oh, thanks
so
much.
And express why you're running.
It's always fun to come on.
So check out palmbayflorida.org. That's the city website. And you can find out what's going on. Get involved now in city council meetings. Start going and meeting. That's a great place to meet David. And certainly hear about what things that are going on in Palm Bay so you know what you're voting on. There's lots of planning and zoning things that are coming up that you might want to be a part of. Of course, we're always, to CDN Viewpoint with CDN Friends, we're always a big advocate of making sure that you get out there and vote. VoteBrevard.gov has all of the folks that are running for everything for in Brevard County. Make sure that you hit that website and go there and check out all of the things that are going on. And we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these messages with Keyshawn Phelps and all the great things he's doing. Be right back.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana?
Featuring the best and most affordable
brands. Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in beautiful, sunny Cocoa, Florida, Brevard County, which I love. We're sitting here in our studio. We just had Mr. David Kearns on. It was a beautiful segment. He's running for office in Palm Bay, City Council 3. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9. 100.7 and online everywhere.
That's right. 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your local listening devices. Of course, you can get all of the archives of our shows there as well. Each Monday, each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can find our show. You're available to download there. Of course, we post it on all of our social media and our website, which is cedamediainc.com.
That's right. And we're excited. Our second guest today is Mr. Keyshawn Phelps. I feel like it's a swimmer. Isn't that guy with the name Phelps?
Yeah, that's a different guy. Okay. Yeah.
A different Phelps.
He's an award-winning engineer, a dynamic motivational speaker, an author, and he hails from the vibrant city of Newark, New Jersey, where Ellen is from. And I watched his video on YouTube, and I am just honored that he's here in studio with us. So welcome, Mr. Keyshawn Phelps.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity to be on you guys' platform, so I thank you so much.
So talk to us a little bit about the mindset shifter. You know, when I saw those three words, I thought, wow, something is going on with this guy. Let me watch this a little bit. So you came up with a really good tagline for what you actually believe in.
Yes.
Talk to our listeners a little bit about the inspiring transformation that took place with your body, mind, and soul and spirit that made you write your book and form your company, the Mindset Shifter LLC.
Yes. So before I get to the exact name, I like to tell the story behind it, right? And I come from, like you said, the vibrant city of Newark, New Jersey. And for those that are not too familiar with Newark, New Jersey, it can be a really rough, hostile environment, and it's easy to fall victim to your environment and all of the bad influences that are around there, right? And growing up in that, I always tell people, because people always ask me, how was it growing up in Newark, New Jersey? And for me, going through it at the time, everyone's suffering. So it doesn't feel like it's abnormal. Like this is perfectly fine. You have friends and family that are struggling, poverty stricken. You lose friends and family to violence and crime and jail systems. And growing up in that, right, my mom raised me. My father, unfortunately, made a decision that placed him behind bars for majority of my childhood. So growing up in that situation automatically, it gave me the victim mindset. Okay, maybe I have to do bad things because I didn't have a father, right? Oh, I can't be this because I didn't have the financial means to go to this to take these opportunities. So, but for me, the next best thing that is shown to us in our communities is sports, right? So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dedicate my time and effort to sports. And my high school senior year, the opportunity didn't come for me. And for most...
That must have been crushing because yes. you had your heart set on playing sports.
Yes.
You thought that would be my way out.
That would be my way out. And like many other people, they choose that route because we see it on TV. We see how it can change someone's financial lifestyle. So I dedicated my time and effort to that. But high school, senior year, those opportunities didn't come. And I had to make a decision, like, what can I do next, right? Because I knew I didn't want to be, like, following the same footsteps as friends and family and those that are in the area that are, you know, was causing destruction and things like that and going down the wrong path, I may say. So I say, you know what, I'm going to take a chance on college. Never been to college. No one in my family didn't have a blueprint to say, hey, this is what we're going to do in college. And I remember getting accepted last minute, thanks to the grace of God, to Virginia State University. And I got accepted into the mechanical engineering program. And the reason why I was so excited, because one, not only did it change, my mindset, but it changed my environment. I was able to get into a place where I see individuals that look like me, individuals that are striving to change generational curses, that's trying to better themselves. And that kind of motivated me, right? And that kind of gave me that mindset shift to say, listen, that I can do all things, right, with God behind me, but I can do all things as long as I put in the work to get those things that I deserve. And just going through the different phases of college, because it wasn't easy. Right,
Right. Well, and being away from home.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Virginia to Newark, New Jersey to Virginia is a big jump.
It was.
Leaving Trinidad and coming to the U.S. It's a different culture.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Yes. And yeah. It was a very culture shock, and it also showed me the education barrier that I was
missing. Because you didn't really have a role model growing up. Anybody that went to college in your vicinity, your group, your tribe. But I heard you talk about when you got that first grade, and it was a 70.
Yes.
And you somebody said you got an A. But I'm like you. If I got the 70, I'd be like, I got 70. It's better than nothing, right? But that really motivated you. You said, well, wait a minute. If I could get 70, I could get 80. I can get 90. I can do this.
Right. Yes. And for the instance was the first day of school, right, I'm thinking that, or the first day of classes, I may say, I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. They're going to go over the syllabus, the coursework, and we're going to get out of here. And I remember sitting down in my classroom, and the teacher said, pull out, you know, your books, your assignments, and then we're going to go over everything. And he started going over all of, like, the coursework and X over B and just so all these different words. And I'm like, wow.
Bro.
I never heard
feeling,
anything.
That feeling, right, of doom and gloom.
Yes.
It's inside of you, right?
Yes.
I know exactly how you felt because everything you said, I can identify with being poor and broke when I was a kid, right? But do you find that going through all of this, that the poverty made you a stronger human being?
Yes. I feel like it has because I know what the bottom is like, and I know how to, you know, become better than what I am. And it's because I always say it's not about where you start but where you finish. And I knew where I wanted to finish. And I knew that I had people that were behind me, like my mom, my brothers, my sisters, family members, people that I interact with that looked up to me and that believed in what I was doing. And I say, I can't let them down. And most importantly, I couldn't let myself down because I'm a man of my word. So when I say I want to do something, I'm going to do it and get done. And to advocate for that, I remember asking my classmates, I said, hey, did you do this before? Like, do you know this information? And each and every last one of them all said, oh, this is easy. I did this in high school. I did this before. So I was like, so doubt even started clearing my mind, clouding my mind even more. And I'm like, I do not belong here. Like, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. This is not supposed to be me. Maybe just turn around. But I speak on that factor of, like I said, not giving up. And it's not about how you finish, not how you start. So I took a humble approach, and I had to get a tutor. And that was one of the most humiliating things for me, because I was like, man, I was always good at what I do in school. It came easy to me. But for some reason, engineering took a while to connect for me. But after a while, I started doing the tutoring and things like that. And like you said, that first assignment, I took the test, and I'm like, man, I bummed this test. This test is bad. And I remember everybody getting their tests back. People had A's, people had B's. And I got mine, and I said a C. I was like, oh, yes. And they're like, you got a 70, man. Like,
I didn't take a D at that point. Yeah.
And I'm like, I was so happy because you guys don't know how far I came, right? Oh, so that was one of the things of the testimony of when you work hard to something and when you put your time and effort and get rid of all distractions, that things can be possible. And that C gave me a green light to say, hey, you keep going, you keep going harder, that C is going to turn to a B, B turn to an A. And that's what it did. And I was able to, like I said, graduate college, first generation with mechanical engineering, a bachelor's. Yes.
Well, you know, you talk a little bit about something that a lot of politicians talk about these days, which is internships.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my dad, when we were little, he would say, well, I know a man who knows how to weld.
Yeah.
And I know a man who paints. And I know a man who fixes air conditioning. Mm-hmm. Always a man. I know a man. And so he would try to take, you know, young people who didn't have any means of making something of themselves and let them learn a trade.
Yeah.
But you found that in college, you had a very difficult time getting an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that was because you were not one of the rich kids? You didn't have a dad that knows somebody? A little bit of racism, a lot of things were against you.
Mm-hmm.
But you thrived.
Yeah.
So take us back to that day when everybody was getting the internships and you wrote so many letters and you got none. And I wanted to cry.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, this, he didn't get none.
Yes. So I was always so like headstrong, and I always wanted to, like, I knew my end goal. Like, I wanted to graduate and get a good job. And I always was taught that if you get experience, that's what you need. And I'm like, I don't have experience. I'm only just a freshman in college. And I remember just going to different networking events, going to different career fairs. And I mean, talking to different employers, and they're like, hey, okay, like your resume, go on online and apply. I go on and apply. Next thing you know, an hour later or a couple of days later, we would not be moving forward with your application. And that continued for like, I applied to probably like 100 of jobs.
Oh.
And I didn't get
it,
not one back.
Mentally, yeah. Broke you, but you kept going.
I kept going because I knew that it wasn't over. I was a freshman, and everyone kept telling me, like, you're just a freshman, man. It's okay. Like, you're going to get your time. And I remember one Sunday, I was watching football. Me and my buddies were sitting in the dorm room watching football. And I remember getting a call, and the guy I picked up, he's like, hey, can I speak to Mr. Phelps? And I was like, yes, this is Mr. Phelps. He's like, hey, this is such and such from this company. And he was like, hey, man. And before he even got to even tell me what I'll be doing, he's like, we would like to offer you. I said, I'll take it. And it was an opportunity in Tennessee, which I never been. I, like I said, from New Jersey to Virginia.
No, Ellen, he's really traveling now.
Yeah, so.
Oh, boy.
So
well, let me give you a little idea. All right, so I lived in Jersey City, which is the town over. I was one of 11 white kids that was at my school. Mm. I thought I was Puerto Rican until I was 6.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know, because it's such a gel. It's such a mix of people.
And now you went from Georgia, right?
Virginia. No joke, but
yes.
Tennessee, that's a whole different world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a different
so
language.
When
yes.
When did you notice that your mind started shifting to poor me to why not me?
Yes. For me was because I had a choice, right? It was either soap in it, okay, why me, or I can step up. And I noticed that every time I stepped up to the plate and had my head held high, I was like, okay, what's the issue at hand? This is the issue, which was education, okay? And I've seen that I put my best foot forward, and look what happened, right? I said, okay, my thing was trying to get an internship. I came with some adversity, but I kept applying myself, kept going, and look what happened. That came up, right? So it just gave me a lesson to keep saying that, listen, you control your destiny, right? And it all starts in your mind and what you believe. And that's why I call myself the mindset shifter.
Yes.
Because I will help individuals shift their perspective, shift their attitudes to when adversity hits, how they can deal with that, right? And also, change the narrative a little bit for our young folks and anyone that's searching the thing. You don't have to dribble a basketball. You don't have to be a rapper or, you know, an actress or actor. There's all multiple ways to be successful. And to me, successful is what you do waking up and you happy. You don't have to have $1 million, right? So it's all about what you do.
And positive thinking, right?
Yes, and like you said earlier, too, about the trade. That's one thing I do want to hone in on. I'm speaking of college because that's what helped me out, right? But there are plenty of opportunities in trades, because if you got a skill, you got a skill to pay the bill, right? And I think that's one of the things as well. So you don't have to always go through college. You can be a trade, but just educate yourself, keep learning, and keep becoming that better person than you was yesterday.
And you speak right to the point that, like, stress is a choice.
Yes.
Like, you choose. If you want to be stressed out and all, you know, work yourself up about stuff, those are all choices. So that mindset shift is brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he should be talking to little kids from 5 years old.
He probably is.
Yes.
He probably doesn't even realize that he is.
Yes. And that's one of the things I have learned as well, is most of the time, our issues come from how we deal with them, right? How we face those issues. Because most of the time we put that pressure on ourselves. And I feel like once the way we depend on how we handle that, it would dictate that way of how life will be for us. So, yes.
So your motivation and your self-determination comes from within. You found that within. You didn't have money for therapists and one-on-one counseling and, you know, group therapy.
Right.
No, there was no change for that. But you went ahead and you formed your 501c nonprofit, and it's called Just Want to Inspire.
Yes.
It's a nonprofit.
Yes, that's a nonprofit.
And where is it based? Is it based in Palm Bay right here?
Yes, it's based in Florida, yes.
Okay, and so talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here. We said our show is fun and unscripted and very, we give out a lot of information, and it's valuable information. Well, I want you to give them that valuable information about empowering change.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about empowering change and achieving success.
Yes, so one of the things for Just Want to Inspire, to piggyback off of that, one of the things was, it was a nonprofit to help those that come from, you know, less opportunities than others, right? One that's looking to get into STEM and just needs some hope and help. So I Just Want to Inspire is just the name in itself. I just want to inspire anyone and everyone that I come encounter with. So I started this actually in college. My senior year, I said, you know what, I want to do something to give back. And I didn't know how to do it.
Because you were feeling good.
Yes, I was feeling good, because I said, man, I'm doing great things. So I was like, why not give back, right? And one of the things that I did was, I didn't know how to do a scholarship. So I did a GoFundMe. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm doing a GoFundMe. I want to give to three high school seniors from Newark, New Jersey, where I was from. And at the time, like, I raised $1,500, and I was able to give $500 to three students from a high school. And then the next year, it went to $3,000. And then now, like I said, we continue to, and every year we did 2,000, 1,000, just continue to build that. And one day be able to, fund someone's whole college, you know, a semester or year. And I think that's the thing, just giving opportunities. But outside of that as well, we do community give back. We do food drives. We do clothing for the less fortunate. And we do feedings and things like that as well. Just trying to help out, and even with environmental stuff, and just help planting trees and help planting garden and stuff like that. Yeah.
And everybody is unique, right? Every human is unique. I mean, I would say, my mother used to say, your thumbprint. Billions of people, all different thumbprint, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've noticed, too, that a lot of the people that come to you for support and guidance, they're unique. They're different.
Yes.
So you also offer personalized way of teaching for them.
Right.
Right. So talk to us about that, because it's not a one size fit all.
Right.
Right. Some people don't succeed in life, whether maybe because of the environment, maybe they didn't have the opportunities, parenting, raised by their grandparents. Maybe they were born to an unwed mom or a broken home, whatever it was. They're coming to you broken.
Right.
They need this help and guidance. Right. So tell us about the personalized care that you give them.
Yes. One of the first things is meeting someone where they're at. Right. And not judging and not saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, right? It's just understanding where they're coming from, understanding the person that you're talking to. That's the first thing, right? And also, too, is making sure that they can see the light in themselves as well, the power in themselves. That's one of the things that I try to strike a chord with, trying to see people for what they are and understand, like, hey, I have the ability to do it. Because once you show someone the power that they can do, everything else speaks for themselves. Now you're guiding now, right? It's morally so
you're
that.
You're cruising.
Yes, you're cruising,
so,
yes.
You're motivating so many people, just not our show or our listening audience, but people you come across with, because when you speak, it shows in your face the passion, right? But in addition to getting your bachelor's, you cruise right into getting your master's as well.
Yes.
And how was that a bit better at that point?
That was a little bit better because of, like I said, some of the knowledge that I've grown from experience from working and my corporate life and things like that. But also, too, is just understanding that, like, I had to educate myself a little bit now. And it came very versed. And I got my master's in system engineering, which is more so broad than just my honing in on just mechanical, right, which I got in my bachelor's. But it gave the overall perspective. So it made me more versatile and made my resume look really, really good and helped me with more knowledge to become, like I say, a better engineer.
Wouldn't you say he had unwavering determination to succeed?
Yes, I have.
You believed in you, man.
Yeah.
And is your mother still with us? Is she, and is
yes,
she, I
yes.
bet she's proud. I could imagine the noise she made at your graduation.
Yes. and that right there is what gives me that drive, right? Because like my mom, like I said, she's a single parent, raised five of us.
Oh.
And like she did it, like I said, countless nights, and she was always there to protect our cubs, right?
Right,
and
right,
I always
Ali,
see that.
You could see that too, right? His
oh,
mom,
absolutely.
Can,
yeah.
She'd be the one that they have to say, "Ma'am, you can't make noise."
Yeah,
that's yeah.
So
my mom used to get thrown out of baseball and softball games a lot.
So, give us your website and how people could contact you and maybe volunteer with you as well and donate for these scholarships. You are a community leader.
Yes.
And if I might say so, you should run for office one day too.
Okay.
Your story is so compelling.
Yeah.
Your self-determination, your motivation, it's what we need today in the United States and the world. It's guidance from people like you who've been there and are going somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and I want to add one thing too, is the perseverance of you finding a tutor.
Yes.
You know, that's being a problem solver.
Yes.
You know, it's not just about the engineering side of
it.
It's like then you become like your own problem solver, that everything that comes up, every obstacle that comes up, you find that you're a solution finder.
Right.
You're not a problem finder. And then we have so many problem finders in our world right now. Right? I keep telling everybody, like, the best job in the whole world is to be a critic. It's the easiest one in the whole world, right?
Yes.
So finding those ways to overcome and finding those ways to persevere through things is the exact message that
we
all need.
It's what every child needs. It's how you lift people up, right?
Yeah.
So give us your website.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give
so
us your website.
My website is www.themindsetshifter.org. Once again, it's www.themindsetshifter.org. And I can be found on all social media platforms as The Mindset Shifter. And what I do is I travel all around the country and I speak at different schools, colleges, organizations, just helping specializing in mindset shifts. Like I recently spoke at Eastern Florida State College, right? And I recently spoke at Virginia State University.
And how's your book doing?
My book is really doing really good. And like I said, I'm trying to get it implemented.
Give our listeners the name of your book and where they can find it as well.
Yes, the name of the book is The Mindset Shifter, Bigger Than the Odds. And it can be found at my website at www.themindsetshifter.org. Once again, it can be found at my website, themindsetshifter.org. And it's doing really good, and I have a lot of great reviews. And one of the things that I like about this book is not just geared to younger folks, right? I gave this book to a gentleman and his family, right? And one of the things I speak about in here is about how my dreams changed. I mean, I spoke about how I wanted to play football, but now that it had to change due to whatever circumstances, now I got to where I point. So he was reading this with his family over the dinner table, and he told me that the young lady, his wife, she said that, you know, her journey changed when she had kids, right? And she wanted to do so many things, but life forces her to had to make a decision to provide for her family. And also, he said that he was messing up in school, and he was like being a knucklehead, so he had to change his course of what he really wanted to do and had to go to the Army. And then the funny thing about it is the little girl, right, she said she wanted to draw a picture, and she said she didn't have the coloring pencils and the tools to draw the picture, so she had to change her whole picture. So in a sense, it's saying that, listen, it's okay to change your dreams. It's okay to, you know,
shift
your mind, but always remember that.
Sometimes I find this, I talk to myself sometimes, and I'll be like, hey, you got to do, and it works.
Yes.
Right? But we have 30 seconds left, and I want to say, you remind me so much, there was a housekeeper that I worked with 25 years ago at the Health Center Merritt Island, and her son played for the Charlotte Bobcats. His name was Jermaine Jones.
Okay, yeah.
And I remembered, it makes me want to, one day she came to me, and she said, nurse, my son just bought me a house. And I cried because I didn't know a lot about basketball, football, and the African-American community, and a single mom, a husband in prison, all that. And when she told me the story, it sounded just like yours.
Yes, wow.
But that boy bought his mom a house.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he is today. But anyways, you remind me of it.
Yes.
Your website one more time?
TheMindsetShifter.org. And I can be found on all social media platforms at The Mindset Shifter.
That's right. And I'm finding him. I got a whole list here.
He's
so
awesome.
Once again, another awesome edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, listeners, so much for tuning in. Make sure that you download this part of the show. If you want more information, of course, all of our guests have given you their website and phone number information so you can get a hold of them If you need them, we can certainly get it out as well. Thanks again. Make sure to tune in each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on 1510 WWBC.